Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox. We will find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome back. Another episode of Chatterbox Video Game Radio is on the air this week. Apparently Rich is in the studio eating a cookie.
No, that would be me.
Actually.
My name is Alon.
Sound effects.
Oh, this is so good, dude.
That's Ara, and over there is Rich as well.
My headphones are freaking out, dude.
I'm sorry.
Then I haven't eaten anything in like 2,000 minutes.
So, as always, we talk about video games. If you want to learn more about our show, go to chatterboxgameshow.com. If you want to call us and chat about whatever's on your mind relating to video games, feel free. It's 866-536-1100. Of course, that's only if you're listening live. A lot of our listeners also listen to the podcast, which you can download at all your normal podcast downloading places. Now, there's a few things that I certainly wanted to talk about this week. One article that I was reading a little bit to Ara before the show started was someone... I really should cite the articles that
I'm... It's enticing.
That would be professional, but we really don't do that here, so...
We read something to some people.
Yeah.
It's just a lot more exciting if you're all vague and mysterious.
Anyway, at computerandvideogames.com, they cite an article which was actually written, I think, at Forbes.
Okay, so someone from Forbes wrote this.
Apparently.
Okay, which now things make sense because... Well, go ahead, tell them what it's about.
It's basically this thing saying that... the iPhone could kill the Nintendo DS's success. Now, anyone who's intelligent and pays attention to this industry more so than your average Forbes article writer would know that that sure as hell is not going to happen.
This is exactly like the insipid kind of conclusions that people who have absolutely no idea about why people like or play games reach.
Well, here's the thing. Someone who writes for Forbes, I imagine, would understand numbers. Because the business is their thing, right? That's what Forbes is all about.
Yes. Games are not their thing. But money is their thing.
Forget about the reason behind gaming. I will tell you that it will never happen simply because there's, what, like 20 times as many Nintendo DSs already sold?
How many million are in the world?
Right. But
like 150 DSs, right? It's something around there. 150
million.
I thought it was
50 million, but... I mean,
well, yeah, no, but that's a good point. You're right. Like the install base alone,
at least 5 billion,
right,
DS
cannot be denied.
There's only 6 million iPhones.
Yeah,
and there will be more, especially next month after the cheaper one comes out.
When it's $200.
Yeah, right. So the cheaper one will come around, and it'll be all fun with the new games finally releasing. And you know what? The
Super
games
Monkey
do
Ball,
look good.
I want to play that on an iPhone.
That actually looks good. I have to say that we were looking at some footage of it before the show, and I'm very, very happy to report that. It looks like they're doing the original Monkey Ball style, which is fantastic because I don't know if any of you guys have played the first one and the second one, but basically like the difference between them is like, I don't know, like the worst movie ever and the best movie ever.
I wouldn't go to that extreme, really.
No, I would. You could not imagine. You could not imagine that just from designing a level differently that a game could suck so bad.
This is going from like Gigli to The Godfather difference. Is that what you're saying?
We don't talk about movies on the show, man.
Well, I'm just saying. Like,
yeah, I guess.
He said worst to best. So
yeah, okay, sure.
Those are two either very good or very bad movies.
All right, fine. So clearly, though, any device that has an installed base of, let's just say, 10 times as much
let me
as
look
its potential
it
competitor.
On the internet.
I'm sure you can find it.
Okay, but you're absolutely right, though, right? But... Let's assume, just for sake of argument, that was not a point to be made, right?
Basically, that we're just discussing future success.
Right.
Okay.
Even then, I could just, you were reading the article to me, I could just imagine how, you know, some Forbes business guy can follow this ostensibly perfect line of logic and reach this conclusion, which is absolutely absurd, right? Because they're like, oh, touchscreen is really, really popular. The DS has touchscreen. Oh, look, the Wii is really successful. The Wii has motion sensing.
Yeah.
Oh, look, here's a product that has both motion sensing and touch control. It can only be 20 times as good.
Okay, here's the number. There are 73 6.53 million DSs in the world sold, approximately.
Okay.
So that's a lot.
Yeah. So that's 10 times as much.
Yeah, more than.
More than 10 times as many
DSs.
Yeah, but now, come on, it's Apple.
Now, I mean, we've seen impressive games on the iPhone. I have my iPhone, and we played that car racing game.
Really? Because I haven't really seen any impressive games yet, actually.
There have been some, but more importantly, like, we've seen some that are, like, we've seen the ability of it, meaning graphical ability.
There's totally potential there, but, yeah, I don't know. I haven't played a really sweet game. I've just played the ones that you showed me so far. I've just been like, okay, this looks like it can have some potential. Yeah,
but also
but
remember, all the games that I have are just free ones that people developed and let me download.
But I mean,
right?
Are they talking like actual profits available on this iPhone? Because I mean, how much are they going to be selling these games for? Realistically, they're not going to be able to convince people
Monkey
buy
Ball's like 10
an
bucks,
iPhone game for $35.
Right? No,
that's
$10.
The great thing.
You can easily convince somebody on a DS to go buy Advance Wars for $35. No problem at all.
$10.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Even if they sold 10 million copies of Super Monkey Ball, that's still only $10 a piece as opposed to $35 a piece. So they might be selling more of a single game, but it would still be a lot less profit in general.
Yeah, but why give up the chance to like reuse a hopelessly overused catchphrase? Oh, yeah.
Just because Super Monkey Ball is going to be $10 doesn't mean all the other games.
But I'm you know what I'm saying though is they're not going to be able to convince people to play downloadable iPhone games for $35.
Yeah, and that's
just
because
like XBLA the same way. You're
not
going to spend $35 on whatever Xbox Live Arcade game. You're going to spend $15 maybe.
Yeah, it's not marketed as a gaming machine. My point in starting off this discussion is that whoever wrote this article is a moron, and clearly they were just doing it for sensationalism. And that's fine. Like, people do it all the time, whatever, but it makes you think, does the iPhone and the iPod Touch, right, same thing, have the ability to actually be a gaming device, right?
It does, actually. Yeah.
I think it does. It's certainly very capable. The graphics, according to the stuff we saw from the announcement yesterday, are...
I think it does to an extent, but... The fact that it doesn't have real tactile buttons is definitely a minus.
Well, here's what bugs me, too.
Well, it depends on the type of game.
Well, yeah, obviously, if you're
like,
marble rolling and you don't have
awesome
buttons
on
to press.
iPhone.
Picross would be fine.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though.
I'd be all about that.
It's definitely limited.
But I would need a stylus, which wouldn't be able to slip into the iPhone because there's no slot for it.
It's definitely limited to what types of games would be really good on that system.
Castlevania, not so much.
Okay, so I guess like I'm the iPhone owner here between the three of us, right?
But yeah, you are the iPhone
one. They're cool.
You know, my previous cell phones have been used for phoning, and that's about it. And like I would use the web every once in a while on the BlackBerry, but it was so ass that I didn't do it that much. But the iPhone, like, I use it for everything. I've got internet radio on there, and obviously it's got iPod, you know, for my songs and stuff. And I use surfing the web all the time, and YouTube. Like, I'm using that thing all the time just for stupid crap. Like, I'm laying in bed. Oh, I want to check Wikipedia and read some article. Or I want to play a game because I'm waiting in a doctor's office or whatever. I'm actually finding it a device that I could break out and use. I'll use it at home when I'm not needing a phone, and I could play my DS Lite, right? I might break it out to use for whatever. And so, conceivably, one of the things that stopped me from playing cell phone games is because the interface was pretty much crap. The machine itself wasn't powered enough to do anything interesting. Like a BlackBerry, okay, great, I could play Sudoku or something. But that's about it. And the interface... the interface was jury-rigged to work with an existing game, rather than taking an interface that exists and a powerful system that exists and creating a game for it, which is what's being done with the iPhone and the iPod. And so I'm certainly happy to see games coming out that could take advantage of it. And we've seen stuff that demonstrates it. At least it definitely has the power.
The marble game.
Yeah, the marble game, right. But also like that Tap Revolution game. Like, you can move stuff quickly. It's not just like a few frames a second.
Yeah.
And so it's certainly capable. And I think that a lot of interesting games will come out. I hope that they stay for $10 a piece. But who knows? You know, it's got that digital distribution built in. I carry it everywhere. I don't have multiple cartridges. It's with me already.
Yeah.
It has a lot of potential to be played often. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really excited about that. I think the person who wrote this article, again, is a moron for suggesting that it's going to beat out the DS, because he starts off the article by saying Nintendo beat Sony and Microsoft at their own game, and well, let's see if Apple could beat
Nintendo's
Nintendo.
Game, not
what?
It's not Microsoft's
makes no
game.
Sense.
It's Nintendo's game.
We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
And my name's Rich.
You know, Rich, yesterday Ara was telling me that he has much better public speaking now as a result of the radio show.
I believe it.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up because you guys, I mean, notice how bad I am now. You guys think I suck now. Just go back a couple years and check me out.
It was a different time. When I started the radio show, it was different as well. But I love that intro there. It was so lively.
Yes. Well, it was all because of the cookie.
Is it because you also knew that I would be advertising UAT, the University of Advanced Technology? Did you get excited for that?
Absolutely. I did.
Publicly.
Yes, you could.
Because I'm always so impressed with your smooth segue skills.
You know, TechFest, I think.
In more ways
next week.
Than one.
Alon's segue's broken.
Yeah.
Now all we're right. Getting way off on tangents. That's my fault.
Yeah, well done. All right, so you said all right. To talk about...
Check this out, guys. Peter Molyneux, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Every time that I read some news that's just absolutely this ridiculous, I just can't help.
This, by the way, lends itself very much to something else that I was going to okay. Segue into
right. Later. We'll see, right?
A pre-segue.
I've got my notes here. I wrote down breaking news, but since I wrote it down about a month ago, it's not really breaking anymore. But still highly relevant and entertaining, okay? Recently, Peter Molyneux, if you don't know who he is, he's a high-profile
Fable, Black
designer.
And White.
Right. Okay, all these games, right?
Populous,
yeah.
Yeah. Man, Populous. Well, that was pretty cool.
Dude, I like Molyneux. Anyways, you probably don't.
You like Molyneux, huh?
Yeah.
He says, okay, literally, he made this announcement. My next game, I have this in quotes. That means this is word for word, okay? My next game is a significant scientific achievement and will be on the cover of Wired.
I believe it.
You believe it?
Yep.
This guy, okay. This...
Isn't his next game Fable 2?
This is
no,
high. This is hype. Okay,
you got saying his next.
Yeah,
next game.
I don't know. I don't know what he's trying to get at, but this is hyperbole on the level of L. Ron Hubbard. Okay. Okay. This all I think of is like when L. Ron Hubbard announced that like he could communicate with plants. Okay.
Okay.
Dude,
which
true.
He did in all seriousness, and he's insane. And this is insane.
And
I just have to say that.
Hey, for the record, when we get sued, Ara said that, not Alon. All right.
Fantastic. I have no assets.
L. Ron Hubbard loves to sue.
No, he's dead.
Well,
no,
the people that represent
no,
him.
He will sue from the dead. Grave. I hate Scientology. I wish we had a Scientology show, but anyway.
We have a Scientology church just down the road from here.
Yeah,
there is
do,
one.
Don't we? Okay, anyway, back on track, right?
Let's go ask questions.
I didn't know what respect I had for Peter Molyneux, really, because I didn't really, like, I haven't really heard a lot of his writings or his talks or anything, but... It was about a year ago, I think, where he was giving this talk at some convention, and there was this kind of video that he was demoing at the same time of some kind of gameplay. And he was basically...
The Room?
I don't know. It's not like... I don't know if it's The Room, but it was like... It was just like a bunch of, like, non-textured characters doing some, like, swashbuckling on, like, a railing and steps or whatever.
That was not The Room. Okay.
Yeah, not The Room, right? And he's talking about this, like... He's like the greatest car salesman in the world, which is a horrible title to achieve. But he was basically like framing this little demo, which was nothing impressive at all, as like, oh, look, you can do contextually different actions depending on where you are and what's going on. Like no one had ever thought of that or invented it or done that before, even though it's done like myriad times over. And he was like trying to pitch that like it was something new. And when I saw that, I don't know, I lost... What modicum of respect
I don't
respect
know what you're talking about right
had.
Now because I wasn't really listening because I was in chat.
Yeah, because you haven't listened to his crazy lectures,
he,
have
no,
you?
No, he did a demo, I want to say in 2001 at GDC or some convention. If you guys have seen Portal, he basically demoed Portal in
the
2001.
Room. That's what The Room is. And it's yeah. Not, it wasn't 2001. It was it, like it, 2 years ago.
No, it was before that. It was several years
since
ago.
Since I was there. And saw him
you were
do
there
it.
That year?
Yes, it okay. Was about 2 or 3 years ago.
It was 3 years ago,
and
minimum.
It was called The Room, and there were a bunch of portal-like things, like windows, and you would throw like an orange through it, and on the other side, the orange would, depending on what action that particular portal had, it would be larger or smaller or whatever, and yeah. It was actually really, really cool.
It was
and then
extremely
portal came
cool.
Out. Yeah.
And it was like all this different stuff, and you can like move the portals and like take portals and put them through other portals and make them larger and smaller and like...
It was cool.
Really crazy stuff.
Okay, that sounds pretty cool, But what kind of person announces that they're going to make a significant scientific achievement without telling you what it is? What is that?
Peter Molyneux does.
Yeah, Peter Molyneux does. Exactly.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about expectations. All right. So,
yeah.
In this fanciful world of ours, we have great expectations. We have blown expectations. We have high expectations and low expectations.
I have no expectations.
You, my friend, have no expectations.
I am the king of buying into hype.
You yes. are, yes, and I'm
and, it is
and I'm glad you can admit that.
I look at it this way. I was talking to Johnny about
that's,
this
that's the first
this week,
step, really, Rich.
How Alon always says, oh, Rich, you just get too excited about games. I figure, okay, either I can get extremely excited about a game and it lets me down, and I figure, hey, at least there is something fun about it, or I get excited about a game and it is really fun, so then the excitement just continues.
That's the thing. You thrive on void. Like, you thrive on the thought of a game. Or anything, right? Interestingly, you are more interested in the thoughts of games than anything else. But I would rather not have so much fun thinking about it, and then when the game actually comes, enjoy it.
But no, because if the game's not good, you just go, wow, this is just terrible. And then you got no fun out of it. But if the game's really good, you're still going to have a lot of fun with it. I just had fun with it earlier.
I don't follow this logic whatsoever.
I just had more fun with it.
No, no, don't try to explain it.
So for those who listen
no,
to the show a lot,
it makes perfect sense.
You're probably aware that I'm very interested in psychology, certainly the psychology of gamers. Given the fact that a lot of gamers are young or childlike in their thought process.
And a few lawyers as well.
Yay!
Yes, that too. We also have all this media around this industry, right? Mm-hmm. And so these great expectations are built in our minds, and Rich is a perfect example of someone who builds these
Dude,
expectations.
And we
he's the product of the hype machine.
We call it hype. And so
Dude,
there, then there's all
hype.
These products that come out, which of course
Halo Mountain Dew.
Halo Mountain Dew.
That was
what?
Good. The Halo Mountain Dew, that stuff is good.
So all these products come out that basically are not that interesting after the fact that we have grown our expectations so high.
Are you getting kickbacks from like Mountain Dew or something?
No, I'm just saying it was really good.
So like Halo 3, for instance.
Yeah.
Big, so, you know, everyone very excited about it. A lot of people actually
and
liked
it. And that game lived up to its hype 100%.
Well, for me, it didn't do much. Because for me personally, and I think for a lot of other people, newness, something that you haven't done before, is what, you know, creates an interesting experience. And I think, Ara, you're like this as well. Come on, dude.
I would say that newness. I'm glad you mentioned that because novelty is like something that will definitely get people excited. But I think that after the fact, like as part of the hype about something, yes, novelty is very important, right? But when you get down to brass tacks, when
novelty
you actually play
implies
something,
that it's not actually good, though. I'm talking about newness that's actually, you know, that actually plays through.
But something doesn't have
yes,
to
but,
be new.
Yes, but those
to
are two
good.
Completely separate components is what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
The novelty of it...
They are independent, but I'm saying when they work in conjunction, when there is...
Yeah, well, yes, obviously.
A synergy
yes, yes.
between newness and you know,
awesome.
And
just
quality.
Just like the Forbes guy. This makes money, or this makes money. Oh, look, they're both doing it. It must make even
well,
more money.
Let me give you an example. The Grid, we've discussed, is a very high-quality racing game, right?
Grid.
Out now
no,
in stores.
There's no the.
Whatever.
I'm the
actually
Ara.
There is a The Grid, but it's made by Midway and
it's a
third person
game. Yeah.
In the arcade. Okay, so Grid is a fine racing game. However, I'm not that interested in it because I've played racing games since I was 2 and it doesn't excite me anymore.
This isn't the same racing game you played when you were 2.
No, it is.
Agreed.
No, it's not.
I mean, obviously it looks different,
but
right?
I mean,
but principally it's the same.
I mean, principally, yeah, you're driving a car to beat other cars. But, like, it's a matter of the way in which it's done and how well it's executed. Like, Crysis I've been playing, there's nothing new in the game in a first-person sense. Like, okay, you have
Yeah, and that's
powers.
Why I wasn't terribly excited by it.
But the game is so well executed. Like, it's just so – the pacing of the game and, like, the action of the game is just so well done and so fun. It doesn't need to have anything new. It doesn't need some sort of gimmick. To be like, oh, look, FPSs are different now. It just makes a really good first-person experience.
Yeah, well, you know, for someone who likes first-person shooter games
oh, yeah.
a lot,
yeah.
you know, like you and Johnny,
yeah.
You really enjoy that. And for Ara, even though he's played racing game after racing game after racing game, he really enjoys Grid.
Yeah.
Now, for me, there are certain games that I like. Puzzle games I can go play a lot.
Does a race car driver stop racing, you know, the track after they've driven it a million times?
No, I've got no problem with that. My point is, that's a quality game that doesn't have newness, so it doesn't attract me.
That's true.
Okay.
Although you did admit to kind of liking it. Kind
yeah, but you don't see me playing it.
Prove it.
We'll be right back. After this, we'll even have someone who called into the show. 866-536-1100 if you want to as well.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
Yes, I think we do.
Oh, was that on the air?
Yeah,
it might have been.
Show.
I didn't hear it.
That's how we do it over here. Very professional.
He was all like,
"All right." So before the break, I was talking about broken expectations, right? And the reason I wanted to do this is because a very big game that's being super super hyped as a system seller is coming out very soon.
What could that be?
Metal Gear Solid 4, you say?
Never heard of it.
Yes, of course not. Now. Something
it's
similar.
It's going to come to the 360, by the way.
Isn't the subtitle, don't mention the 90-minute cutscenes?
Yes. It's also actually subtitled Guns of the Patriots.
What's interesting, too, is Hayes wasn't exactly billed as a system seller, right? Nobody was saying Hayes was going to move the PS3, but people were very excited about it. And now you've experienced Hayes, and you're not terribly excited about it.
No, I'm hugely disappointed by it.
Are people really, like... I guess the answer is yes. People really are excited about Metal Gear Solid 4.
Well, people really like the game, the previous games.
It is
like,
the first game that I'm interested in actually buying for the PS3.
Really?
Are you serious?
Yeah. You?
John's
of
not
going to
buy it, by the way. You heard about the deal.
We've discussed this.
All right, I just want to make sure you know.
All right. That's fine.
Okay.
So...
How do you feel about not pressing buttons for 90 minutes?
Dude, it doesn't matter, because you press
that
buttons for
MGS
a whole lot of other minutes.
That was in MGS 2 and 3, from what I heard, so...
You've press buttons a whole lot of time. I don't care.
2 is 30 minutes.
No. The ending of 2.
Oh, well, that doesn't count because it's over.
No, I understand the intro is like 90 minutes long, but the ending of 2 is like 45 minutes and then like a minute and a half of walking and then another like 45-minute cutscene. And I remember my mom was like, wow, we got to go, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, but it's in the middle of the cutscene and I can't pause it. And then the PS2 is going to break. And I was like, no. So anyways, continue.
All right. So... My point is, this game's going to come out, and I'm sort of curious. Like, I'd love to hear what people's responses are. Feel free to send me emails. Like, what do you think is going to happen? And tell me before, obviously, you get the chance to play the game, like, are you going to be excited about it? Do you think your hopes are going to be dashed? When the game comes out, it's not going to be as good as you expect. Certainly, that happened with Hayes. It's happened with many other games that come out that we get very, very excited about. Right. And then we get to play them, and it's like, our expectations exceeded what our brains knew was possible. Like, what...
Well, isn't that the strategy?
What could it possibly do to make it that good a game?
I mean, they try to do that, right? Well, and I think that also, like, in people's heads, it's like, in the absence of any real information, and by that I don't mean, like, screenshots and promo materials and even footage, right? But in the absence of being actually able to play the game, you know, like, people's minds have a remarkable ability to kind of exaggerate things even beyond what it could be. Like, I remember, you know, when we're talking about this, the first example that went into my head was Castlevania Symphony of the Night, okay?
Yeah.
That was a fantastic game. That's like arguably one of the best platform-type games ever made, right?
It is quite good.
And I remember when I first got it, right, there was like, when I'm walking through like the first several screens, I mean, even though like, I mean, I liked it, it was good, you know, and it was awesome the whole way through, but I just remember like this kind of like, sinking, like, remorseful feeling that I was experiencing, like, this is good, but somehow, you know, my expectation was built up so much that I'm, like, questioning if it ever could have been satisfied.
That's funny, because I had no expectation of it. I played the import version before it ever came out in the U.S. I was like, oh, people say this is good, I'll try this. And
I was like, oh, cool, it is.
Actually, it was awesome, even if I couldn't understand it.
Yeah. But,
Japanese, what?
It's tough when you don't know what the items are that you're picking up.
Ah, you know, you don't need to worry about
that. And you like,
press
this button. What did that
do? Well, I certainly couldn't beat it because, like, there were some things like you had to wear special glasses from a certain point or something. It was weird.
And you just had to, like, sit there for 4 hours going, okay, that didn't work.
Yeah,
okay, that didn't work.
Totally didn't
Most
stop
of the game
me.
Was good, though. My point is, though, that our expectations, they affect the rest of our, when the real thing actually happens, mm-hmm. the expectation will control how much you enjoy it later. Like, if I don't expect much out of it and it's awesome, then great. Mm-hmm. That'll be fantastic. I'll feel really good about it. But if I'm, like, rich and I have huge expectations, the game comes out, it would be just as awesome. But I would not enjoy it as much. And so I try to keep my expectations low.
That depends. I mean, if it's an awesome game either way, I think you'll... for me anyways, I'll still be happy with the game.
Is this because you just have a very short-term memory?
Is that because you spent money on it and you feel that you have to justify your purchase to your own psyche?
I don't think so, because sometimes I don't actually spend money on the games and still play them.
Because
awesome.
That happens, you know, especially with kids, right?
You want to justify your purchase by convincing yourself it's good or something.
Okay, another
like
example, Budokan, okay? Yeah. For the Sega Genesis.
What?
My friend had this game, okay?
That sounds terrible.
And he was like, we got this awesome... You listen... He was talking like, we got this awesome game, Budokan, right? We played it, I'm like, this is the worst game ever. I mean, it's just so sloppy, you can hardly tell what's going on. I mean, nobody remembers Budokan anyway,
I've never
right?
heard of it.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a Genesis.
Exactly, right? And the funny thing was I just remember, you know, in my high school days and before, people would get games and they would frame them as being awesome, kind of like to justify the fact that, like, they already had put in an investment to buy it. And so, like... For them, like, they couldn't accept the idea that they invested so much money or whatever into something and had it suck. So they kind of, like, convinced themselves that it was awesome.
Yeah.
Kids do this a lot.
Yes.
Kids of limited means. But in continuing this discussion of expectations, we've had a caller on the line who has expectations
totally
of being on the air.
He's all like, man.
So before the break, I do want to get to the caller, too. So, Scott, we've got you on the air.
Fopo.
Are you there?
Hi, yes.
What's happening, Scott?
No whole lot. I was just going to kind of mention, first thing, one thing that's ironic is that expectations and hype is kind of ushered on mostly by the media and mostly press releases, but also kind of your guys' job. So.
Yes. Damn. But how often do we hype stuff? Seriously.
I do all the time, if I can.
You do in your head. I don't let you do it on the air.
I try.
All right, Scott, seriously.
UAT?
Hey, listen, they pay the bills.
Exactly. It's the same thing, Alon.
I'm not hyping it. I'm simply saying you can go learn about
it. We should send invoices to every company we mention on this show.
That's right. I just say, listen, go to UAT. Learn about it. The website, uat.edu. Yeah. Don't, I'm
go
not,
there
I'm
now.
Not telling you it's going to make 4 years of your life. Or 3 years of your life better than any years ever in the history of time.
Heck,
don't look forward to your wedding or meeting a girl because UAT will defeat all of those memories.
I tell people not to go to video game schools. I tell people not to get into the industry. Stay away.
It's quite true.
You might be disappointed. Might end up an old disappointed man like Ara.
All right.
So what were you really calling about?
But regardless, I've found that I tend to be more and more disappointed with games these days.
Why do you think that is?
I'm not really sure. I think maybe partially because of hype, or it's just that there really hasn't been a single game, actually maybe two, I've played all year, and I've played several of them, that I actually, you know, kind of had that sort of magic that I had when I was a kid. But then
maybe
again, as a kid, I never actually noticed
so
that the games were coming, and I saw them in the store.
What kind of games do you like? Do you like shooters?
Personally? Yeah, I'm more of a real tournament type fan.
All right, well, go play BioShock and Call of Duty 4 and Crisis. You'll be happy
and Portal.
With those. And Portal.
D-Bag, don't forget about
Portal.
And Half-Life 2. Like, last year was, like, one of the best years
for shooters
ever.
Okay, hold on. I want to hear Scott respond to this, because surely he's played at least some of these.
Yeah, Portal was actually one of the few that I said didn't disappoint me, actually.
It disappointed me.
Essentially, you're like the rest of
us. It wasn't the game itself. It was just that... Maybe because there was not really much hype behind it. I mean, sure, there was hype, like media thing, but you never actually knew what you're getting into. You never actually knew that, okay, you had portals, and now it's all puzzle quests, but you never actually knew that Glass was going to be egging you on the entire time. So it was kind of an unexpected surprise, which I'm not really sure if it's a good thing, because there's also some other games that, like GTA 4, had, you know, nothing known about until literally the day it's at your door. However, some things that, like, I was more critical of that game than I was of Portal. So I'm not quite sure if hype really matters as much as other factors, but I have been noticing that hype has been kind of watering down the experience a little bit.
Do you think that hype
makes he's in agreement with me. Let's
hold on.
That point.
No. I'm actually really curious about this. Do you think that hype makes you more critical of a product coming out?
Or less?
I'd say probably a little bit more critical, because once you get the hype, you are like, okay, why was I hyping about this for the last 6 months?
Yeah, it's very interesting.
But then again, it does what it does. It sells that first 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, it depends on your personality, man. If you're naturally positive thinking, or if you're a pessimist.
Right?
Listen, I'm with you, but we're going to break again. Thank you very much for calling, Scott. We'll be back after this. Stay tuned, everyone.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox, Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
When's this song going to be on Rock Band or Guitar Hero?
This song?
Probably never.
But dude, they should totally, I mean,
because that, no,
harmonics
no.
totally just
actually,
like
that's
stuff,
like really know. Going to happen like never because it's a Konami song.
Touché. Or how about something similar to it? Something.
It would be cool if the mini bosses did a song that ended up in.
Yeah.
In Rock Band. Or Guitar Hero World Tour.
No.
Like what? Like Bach in D minor rock
version?
Are
you like looking forward to World Tour?
I totally am.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because I was... Okay, we were arguing. I don't know if Ara can decide on this.
I can give you the correct answer,
he tries
yes.
to tell me that the drums have two more parts to them, and I'm telling him it's only technically one.
Dude, when I'm saying it, I mean two parts that would need to be like shipped.
Okay.
Two physical parts.
The answer...
Oh, that's what you're saying? That's why I was confused.
The answer is who cares?
Clearly, it only has one more input.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
What's the input?
Okay, it's instead
it's got
of four pads...
Five pads.
It's got three pads and two cymbal pads.
Yeah,
which I think pads. Is even worse because where the cymbal is for the hi-hat, quote-unquote, it's not even in the right place to where it would actually be on a drum set. So it's even more discombobulating than just having four pads and having
know.
The hi-hat be...
All I know is that yeah. the original... Drum Mania layout is still my favorite layout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't that have
the
like
official pad?
No, the layout, like I mean obviously like the home version pad is not so good.
No,
but the way it was
have,
laid
like,
out
nine
in the arcade
pads on it or something.
I don't remember what it looked like in the arcade.
It's got two hi-hats, it's got a snare.
It's got a bunch of
it's
stuff.
Got two tom-toms
but
and
be,
it's got a foot pedal.
It'd be pretty kinda...
So that's Guitar Hero World Tour.
Okay, well there you go.
But the layout
it's probably in that same layout then.
It's three drums on the bottom, two
yeah.
hi-hats up top,
yeah.
and a bass.
Yeah,
I don't like it at all.
Like it?
No, I mean, I haven't obviously used it, but it doesn't look good at all to me.
What do you mean it doesn't look good? You don't sit there marveling at it.
You're
gonna
play
the thing.
Dude,
we'll talk
the
about
Drum
this
Mania
later,
Arcade.
This is terrible radio conversation talking about
Guitar
music.
Guitar Hero World Tour drums are almost exactly the same.
Okay, no. that's what
we'll
I suspected.
We'll talk about this later.
The positioning of the cymbals is slightly different.
Yeah, it's different, yeah. and I don't think it'll work well.
Dude, Drum Mania Arcade, you can't beat it.
That no. and I'd just rather have Rock Band.
I mean, you can, literally, but
and they're going to make Rock Band
2,
and it's going to be even better.
No, but Guitar Hero, well, I'm just excited because it's new drums, whatever, and it'll be a fun game, I'm
and
sure.
more songs, and then $190 more, and then blah, blah, blah. And they're going to have two drum sets sitting around the house, and they're going to have 12 guitars.
You know whatever. What the hilarious thing is?
I have a house.
Is that
Touché.
Years ago, okay, you could not convince one executive, no matter how good a salesperson you were, that... This kind of stuff could make money.
Yeah.
And, well, finally it has.
Well,
but
even the drum
usual,
set, as big as it is, it's still smaller than the Steel Battalion controller. That thing is like a mission station, like a full like NASA control panel.
It's
you,
just
do you realize how
no
good it feels
it.
To like have that in your
I've
room?
I've never played it. You have it, don't you? I need
yeah.
to play it.
No. He has the controller. My controller's back with my parents.
Yeah, I have the controller.
All right. Well, I need to play
I
it.
I have the game. Someone stole my Xbox.
Okay, well, Alon has an Xbox, so we got to hook up and
yeah.
be like...
But the thing about that thing is that like you can't just it's so enormous. It is so hulking with its like what, I don't know, 30 buttons, all of which have LEDs on them.
41, I thought.
That
I don't a
and,
lot.
And three joysticks and foot pedals that
a
you,
bunch
you can't just
ton.
You can't just put it on a desk. That will just definitely not work.
Can it on
has,
your lap?
It has
no foot. You definitely can't put
it
on your lap.
It doesn't have foot pedals.
It has foot pedals. What do you mean it doesn't
does
have?
It?
Yes, yeah. It has three
foot pedals.
It totally
foot pedals.
Has foot pedals. Wow.
How are you supposed to move forward without a foot pedal?
You have to, I mean, come
one
on.
Of the 40 other buttons.
Haven't you ever piloted
dude, it's a mech
before?
Dude,
come on.
Mechs don't that use game little is, levers,
that
little
gum
switches
is actually,
for gooing forward.
That game is actually just not fun. That's the problem.
No. You know what it is? This, I will definitely admit that the game has a very steep learning curve, but there's something fantastic about that game that you can never experience in any other game. Once you actually get acclimated to the way the controls work, you can move and steer your mech and at the same time rotate your upper torso completely mm-hmm. independently and at the same time aim your reticle on the screen completely independently.
Yeah.
Doing all those things just simultaneously, once you get that to like work inside your brain, because your brain is like too many things at once. Once that works, it's a wonderful feeling.
If they could manage to like try to redo that game with like maybe a few less buttons somehow.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, I don't know. Or at least make it so it'd be more easily understandable.
No.
I was glad that it
and
came out
like
that.
And you could have
like the game was not fun enough to 16-player
online battles. You don't like mech games, do you?
No, the thing is,
because mech games
it wasn't,
are awesome.
It wasn't interesting enough to get me to want to learn all the controls. No, like, it was just too slow moving.
The only, I mean, that is
it's
definitely one
game.
Of the failings of the game. Okay, the other failing, however, is the fact that when you die, it's like they're simulating you're dead, so they erase your save game.
You have to hit the eject button.
It's like, I don't understand. This
die.
Is crazy. Not only that, right? Let's say you eject. Let's say that you flip open the cover and you press that button and you do make it in time before you're so-called dead.
Death? Yeah.
Yeah, you know what happens? The mech that you have is gone, right?
Yeah.
So you have a limited amount of funds.
Yep.
So you can actually very easily get yourself into a state where even though you didn't die, you have no money. And you can't do anything anyway.
I love that idea, but in practice it seems to have failed.
It's not a good idea. That's what they said. No, it's a cool idea.
No, it's a cool idea.
No, it's not a cool idea. It's a horrible idea.
In practice, it doesn't work. It's like...
I don't understand. You're saying that this was good, and at the same time, you're also arguing that it's horrible.
But I mean,
there are aspects that are wonderful, and I was explaining one aspect that's absolutely horrid.
But I'm saying that's something that's kind of like an idea that sounds good on paper, but isn't.
No,
good
it doesn't even sound good on paper. What are
I
you
think
talking
it sounds
about?
Cool to be like, okay, you have a mech game and you have this awesome.
That's
mech,
because you're crazy.
And when you die, you're for serial dead.
What I love about this is that not that aspect of the game, but what I like about the game in general.
The
is
windshield
that
wiper.
Someone, you were saying you, no matter how good a salesman you are, you could not convince a CEO 5 years ago to release a new music game, right? If it wasn't Beatmania.
Right.
Or Dance Revolution, it wasn't coming out.
No. Even those. You couldn't even convince...
Well,
this
an American
thing.
CEO.
Yes.
An American.
Yes, because it was popular in Japan.
Well, they released Battletech.
And nobody thought that any of those peripherals anyone would buy here because they're like, oh, peripherals... Just like that stupid Forbes article, like, oh, peripherals, this was done in the past this way, and therefore it must be the same way in the future, so we're not going to do anything differently.
So my point is, like, someone... managed to get someone else at Capcom to go ahead with this ridiculous controller and actually get them to produce it on a scale, you know, large enough that they could put it in stores and then create a game for it. What I think is really funny about the whole Steel Battalion thing is that they came out with a sequel. Many people are even aware of this.
Online
a
only.
Sequel which was online only, and then they stopped running the servers.
Yeah.
So it's that disc is literally useless.
Dude, this is just like one enormously expensive project experiment, and I love that. I think that they made so few copies. I heard that like it was somewhere like 2,000 or 5,000. Seriously,
I wouldn't doubt
the original Steel Battalion.
Really?
It was like some abysmally low distribution.
They re-released it though.
Did they? Okay. Well, maybe that was the first one.
There was a re-release with blue LEDs.
How?
Oh, really?
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is the cool thing. On the bottom of the controller, all the staff members' names are etched in the plastic.
That's cool.
How cool is that?
They etched all 2,000.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if they etched the developers, not the people who bought it.
Okay. No, that's what
I don't know if they etched the janitor's name.
I know. I was supposed to do Fopo in the chat. He said at the end what he was trying to say, if it wasn't come across clearly.
This is the caller we had in the third segment.
Scott, whatever. He was saying that whether or not hype affects your idea of the game in the end, whether you think you're more critical of it because of hype, doesn't matter because you still bought it and that's all they care about.
Yeah, but well, along the same line.
Also,
Johnny said he's
dishwasher.
Not buying. Okay, Johnny said he's not buying Metal Gear Solid, right? Because his expectation was dashed because of their screw up with the beta.
Is that? Oh yeah, because he can't play it.
He couldn't play the beta when his expectations had gotten so high to play it, and then they screwed it up. He couldn't play it.
Uh-huh.
So now his idea of the game is down in the dumps, and he's not going to buy it. And he would have if they didn't screw that up. Listen, before we go, we've had this All Games Interactive contest from like last month. And we finally found out the winners last week after we had our show last week. So this is the first week I've been able to announce that the Bobby Blackwolf show, his contestant, the contestant representing his show, was the winner. That's actually the one that I voted for. Our show...
I think it was just because he's a wolf, really.
John, our contestant, actually tied for third place. So at least we were up there. So anyway, Video Games Online and All Games Interactive got the second place slot, and then Chatterbox and two others got third place. So it's awesome that Chatterbox represented and did one that didn't suck. Most of them unfortunately sucked, which, you know, bad news.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, guys. But anyway, thank you, John, for presenting to Chatterbox and getting us a third place. Bobby Blackwolf's entrant was also very good, and eventually, of course, won. Anyway, we're going to go for the week. We'll be back next week. Keep in mind, you can always call us while we're live on the air, or check out chatterboxgameshow.com to learn more about our show off the air.
Good night,
bye-bye.
Guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bases are belong to us.